Welcome to Popcorn and Podcasting.
Welcome to the new improved Popcorn and Podcasting. Pretty much the same, but on a different website.
We have a new site. It's at popcorn.willarise.com.
Yep.
And it's very cool.
That's where our show notes are going to be from now on. That's where we'll have all the updates. And with this new site, we'll be able to have separate little pages if we want to. Or what else can we have?
Lots of fun stuff.
Saves us some work in
and it looks cooler.
Transport our audio onto the podcast and everything. So and now this is the actual podcast site and the blog.
Yeah. So, we also have a new email address. It's popcornandpodcasting@gmail.com. We'll post that on the site.
Spelled all the way out. popcornandpodcasting@gmail.com.
Good job.
And we thought this time we'd do something a little different because...
Oh yeah, I just remembered one thing. No one ever answered our trivia question from last time, so you get another whack at it.
Do they? We're not going to tell them?
No. Why should we?
Okay.
You guys got to find the answer
Who was Hiram Smith's first wife?
We'll ask you again at the end of the
it's
show
not
so
a
you don't forget.
Big, difficult question. If you don't know the answer, you can find it pretty easily.
Yeah.
So just find it and leave it in the comments.
Yeah, leave it in the comments at
if you guys start getting into this, if you guys start getting into this, maybe we can do contest trivias and with awards or something.
No promises, though.
And send you a bag of microwave popcorn. There's no promises yet. We have to wait till you guys get into it.
Yeah.
Really.
If anyone's even listening.
But yeah, you can, this is our new improved podcast.
To answer the question, though, to answer a trivia question, you leave it as a comment. If you're afraid it's wrong and you don't want to get embarrassed, you can email it to us. So,
there you go.
Yeah.
So we thought we'd do something a little different today since General Conference was this last weekend. We talk about highlights.
Things that caught our attention.
Caught our attention in conference. And, you know, in the comments, Lee, tell us about your favorite talk in conference. Which ones touched you? Which ones really struck you? I was listening to some blogs and podcasts today, and a lot of people were saying this was the best general conference that they can remember.
It was a really good one.
And a lot of people saying, you know, I have a lot of things I really want to change and make my life better. And so, let's hear yours. Let's hear your thoughts and feelings.
Okay, do you want to go first?
No, you go first. My machine turned off on me.
Okay. I'll go first. I really, really, really liked Eller Hell's talk in the Saturday morning session about avoiding debt, provident living. But one of the quotes he had was, avoid debt and addictive behavior. And I was like, I'd never thought of spending as an addictive behavior before, but it is. And we've always been taught in the church to avoid anything that's addictive.
You know, and that's interesting when he says addictive behavior, because we talk about substance so much, addictive substances.
Yeah.
There are addictive behaviors, too. Obviously, some of the worst of them being things like pornography and you know, even
illegal
debt
drugs
is a bad one and stuff, too. But, you know, just the fact that anything that is an addictive behavior to us as individuals, maybe we ought to curtail, you know, even if it's something otherwise constructive. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a really good talk. I liked that one.
Yeah. And it made me think.
Oh, I really liked his story in there, how he was talking about something that he bought for his wife. It was like a nice dress or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking a little bit about how sometimes we buy stuff to just kind of show that we're well off and stuff. And even more so in his case, he said, because he was kind of the breadwinner of the family and was... Anyway, he bought her a nice dress or was thinking to buy her a nice dress. I think he bought it, didn't he? Anyway, she said to him, "Are you buying this for me or for you?" And that got him really thinking, because he realized that he was buying it because it was a way of showing her and everyone around that he was doing pretty good with his job, that he's, you know, that he's able to support his family well, kind of thing, buy his wife nice dresses and stuff. And she wasn't too particular about having a new dress. You know, I'm sure she appreciated it, you know, and the love that's behind it. But yeah, makes you think about what are your motives for buying.
Yeah, didn't he also say some of the kindest words or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
The four kindest words we can say to someone you love is, "We can't afford that."
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
Totally.
And it really is kind, probably, because it saves a lot of grief later.
Yeah. And that's one really cool thing about marriage, is that you can kind of act as, what's the word? You help each other out with that, because, I mean, Chaz and I have different things that catch our eye, you know, at the store and stuff, you know, where I may, you know, be like, "Oh, I want to buy this really cute dress for Munker Girl. It's so cute." Chaz will be like, "Do we need it? Does she need it? She has plenty of dresses, you know." And then, you know, Chaz will see something cool at the store.
I'll see a cool little, like that time that I saw the cool little organ thing.
Oh,
it was,
yeah,
like you plug it in and it's like blowing this air. It's like, and then as you push it, it's like, it was cool. It was this little actual organ that was $5. And I'm like, "Cool, I like this. Can we get it?" And Jenny was kind of like, "Well, we don't really
need it.
And, you know, we could have pulled it off, but we didn't need it. I'm sure I wouldn't have used it much.
A safety for each other that way. That's happened to us a lot, and it's really nice, you know. And even when the other person's not there, you know, lots of times I'll be doing the grocery shopping, and I'll see something that I really just want to pick up but then I'll be like, "Oh, what would Chaz say?"
I do that too sometimes. I'll be at the store, "I could just get this. Jenny might not be too happy."
Okay. What's your next
one? Have to look here. Elder Packer talked of, I liked his whole talk about
not conversion Packer, but testimony. Elder,
well, President
that
Packer.
That was confusing.
Yeah. Well, because he's president of the Quorum of the Twelve.
Wasn't there an Elder Packer that spoke that was like in the 70s?
Oh, yeah. You know, maybe that's who this was. It is. It was the other Packer, not President Packer.
Elder Packer.
Elder Packer. I don't remember his first name.
Alan
Packer.
Alan.
Not the apostle. Yeah. But he talked about testimony and revelation and conversion. And he quoted Elder Oaks. He said, "Testimony is to know and feel. Conversion is to do and become."
Mm.
I thought that was a great...
That's interesting, because that kind of says that you can have a testimony without being truly converted to the gospel. And I think I had that for a lot of my life. I, you know, growing up as a teenager and stuff, I had a testimony of it. I believed it. I knew it, but not that I was a terrible, bad kid, but I just, you know, was lazy about reading
about
scriptures
it.
And stuff like that. I was a little bit lazy about it, and so I wasn't fully converted yet.
Yeah, and the gospel is a proactive thing. If you're not proactive about the gospel, you're not fully living it. You know, you can't simply, you know, be around and home teaching gets done. You know, you can't just happen to, you know, just watch General Conference on the TV every Sunday instead of going to church. You have to go and you have to participate and so forth, if you're going to experience the full opportunity that you have.
I mean, too, if you're going to be a tool in Heavenly Father's hands, if you're going to, you know, if you're going to be an instrument in Him answering others' prayers, you're going to be a useless instrument if you're not willing to do anything.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to, you know, if Heavenly Father needs you to help your neighbors that are, you know, in the middle of a crisis, but you won't even say hi to them. You know, if you see them outside in the yard and you just kind of pretend you didn't see them, you won't be able to help them. You won't even know that anything's wrong in their lives. But if Heavenly Father needs you to help them out and he's, you know, prompting you, go talk to them, go say hi to your neighbors, get to know them, then, you know, you get to know them, you'll be friends with them, you'll know when a crisis is going on in their lives, and you'll be able to help them. And then Heavenly Father will have used you to answer someone's prayers.
Yeah. And I think kind of the...
That was a really long-winded explanation. Sorry.
I think what I got out of this was kind of the whole idea that there's such thing as a change of heart, which is where you start doing, and there's such thing as a testimony, where you know and feel, and then there's a conversion, which is having a change of heart and a testimony. And so I think that would be a good thing for every member of the church to do for themselves, is to ask themselves, do I have a testimony? And if they can honestly say that, then say, have I experienced a change of heart? Or do I actively live the gospel on top of what I know? And that can be a little bit of measurement of how converted you are.
Yeah, I remember in one of Elder Eyring's books, he was talking about an experience.
To draw closer to God.
I think it was in that one.
I love that book.
Yeah, where he was, I can't even remember who he said he was talking to.
Probably his dad. He talked a lot about his dad.
Maybe, or someone else who... He was a bishop at the time, maybe. Should really get the quote out.
Faith-promoting rumor.
No, but he had, you know, he'd been working with a guy who was going through the repentance process, and the guy asked him, "Am I forgiven? I don't know if I'm forgiven yet." And President Eyring, I don't know if he was. Oh man.
Was he quoting President Kimball?
Maybe.
Because President Kimball, it could have been President Eyring that went to him, but went to him and asked, there's this man that isn't sure if he's fully been forgiven, and he's gone through the repentance process, and he's just not sure
if he's fully... And so President Kimball asked him some questions like, well, does he sit in the front row when he comes to church?
And you're like, yeah. Does he get there early? Does he do his home teaching? Does he go more than once in a month? Yeah. Does he do that? And all these things that were very proactive things, attentive behaviors. And he's saying, well, there's your answer.
And he answered yes to all of them. And he's like, yeah, if he's doing those things, then he's forgiven.
We'll find that quote and put it in the show notes. That's a good, very good quote.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next. For me?
Your turn.
Okay. I loved, loved, loved Sister Lifford's talk. I can't even pronounce her name, but she had an awesome talk. She talked about teaching children to be reverent and to have reverence for God. And in my experience so far, in my 3 years of motherhood, reverence is a really, really, really hard thing to teach. I've struggled teaching reverence to them. And she had some really good ideas and really super, you know, one of the things she said was, you know, teaching children to respect each other and respect other people and other people's things will be the beginning of teaching them reverence for God.
Yeah.
And just some really awesome things for all of us, to help us all learn to be more reverent. And
yeah, I really like that talk too, because you know, she kind of talked a little bit about young children, not just, you know, 10-year-old children, but
totally what we need, you know, right now.
We got a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, you know, so
she
had some ways of teaching them reverence, which is a big thing.
One thing she said, that socializing should be done in the foyer, not in the in the chapel. Yeah. And also the sacrament meeting begins with the prelude music, not opening prayer.
Yeah. That's a tough one.
Yeah. Especially with young kids, but... Yeah.
I know, I figured out with our little boy, we get about 12 minutes, probably. The time we sit down, we get about 12 minutes before he'll...
Yeah, so if we're there 12 minutes
right
early...
during the opening song, then he'll act up right after the sacrament. So, but we're going to try to teach him reverence, so...
Yeah, hopefully we'll be able to do better.
Here's one that D. Todd Christofferson said that I thought was cool. He's talking about the plan of salvation. He said, if the plan of salvation could be explained in one sentence, it would be this: for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believeth in him may not perish, but have everlasting life. I've had this, I heard this talk by Elder Packer years and years ago, about encouraging people to write out the plan of salvation and not make it a static thing, but develop it and try to keep it in one page, but adjust it as you learn more and so forth, so it's always exactly your understanding of what the plan of salvation is. And so I always, whenever somebody says something about the plan of salvation, I always kind of click, here's something to listen about that, and I thought that was a really cool thing that you'd have that scripture, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso should believe on him should not perish but have everlasting life. What a great summary of the plan of salvation.
In the Saturday afternoon session, Elder Scott talked about temples and talked about how they're, when you're having hard times in life, going to the temple and going to the temple more often will help. And that made me think, okay, how can I get to the temple more often? What, it helped me think of some specific things that I can do to get myself and to the temple more often. And I even thought, it would be really, really cool to start young, with my 3-year-old daughter, taking her to the temple regularly, just to see the outside and just to touch the walls and and stuff, and to just get her to the idea this is a special place, but a place that we come to often.
Mm-hmm. And it's really cool these days because with how many temples there are in the world, and especially us living in Utah, there's no excuse. I mean, that's just all there is to it. But there's opportunities now with so many temples to be able to, have, say, a monthly trip with the kids to the temple just to visit it with them, or something like that.
Yeah,
or,
have a little picnic on the grounds. And
then when they're,
old enough to do baptisms. Old enough to
do baptisms, make it a monthly or weekly or whatever tradition of doing baptism.
I think it would be so cool. I think there is, of all the times, and when I was in Young Women's, when I was 12 and older, before I was endowed, I went to the temple to do baptisms a lot. With the ward and with the people and the people, my people. Anyway, but all of the times that I went kind of fuzz out in my memory, but there's one time that I went with my family, not that we only went one time, but, the times that I did go with my family, with my mom and my dad and my other siblings that were old enough, were totally the most memorable. I still have those in detail, etched in my memory, and it was such a good feeling to be there in the temple with my family. I love being in the temple with family. That's why I absolutely love going to sealings when family are getting sealed, because it's an opportunity to be in the temple with family, and it's the coolest feeling.
And that makes sense, because the temple is really a family affair. It's all about sealing families, about connecting families, and they even call the sealing ordinance the covenant of exaltation, which basically means if you live up to that covenant, you will receive exaltation. That's all there is to it. And the whole temple is focused on family, you know. And while there's times where you're alone, it's all in preparation for being rejoined with as your family. I think my next one, and I'm probably jumping
ahead a bit. Wait, I have one more thing to say. There in conference, there were two other talks about the temple. There were three talks just about the temple, and I...
That's a lot, considering all the gospel principles, you know, that...
Yeah, and so I think that's a really super important thing.
We should check
that
the priesthood session. I bet there was even more.
Yeah. Say, go ahead now.
Oh, okay. I think the of all the talks in conference, the one that stuck out to me the most was Elder Uchtdorf's talk in the priesthood session. It was really one of those talks that is just like, that one was for me. And it was kind of funny the way he introduced it. Sorry. Choking on popcorn. Because he says, well, I thought about, you know, doing a story about raising pigeons like President Monson would do, or about rocket science or something like that. Oh, you got it up there. That's good. Yeah, why don't you read that part? That's just a funny part.
Let's see. My dear brethren, I have known for a few months the message I want to give you today. During that time, I have searched for a story that would illustrate what I want to say. I looked for a story about farming. I looked for a story about animals. In honor of Elder Scott, I looked for a story about nuclear engineering. In honor of President Monson, one about raising pigeons. In the end, one story kept coming back to me, a story that had been imprinted on my memory for many, many years. It isn't about farming, animals, nuclear engineering, or pigeons. It is, as you might have guessed, about aviation.
That's great. Somehow he ties airplanes into every one, and somehow it works fantastically every single time.
That's how you can tell he really got into his career and really loved it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But basically, it's just a real quick summary. This little green light in an airplane that was being flown. He wasn't in it. This is a story. Little green light went out, and it was something that kind of helped guide the landing, something like that. We can read the talk so you can get the whole thing.
Indicates whether or not the nose landing gear has extended successfully.
Yeah. Anyway, so while they were trying to fix that little light, they were distracted, focusing so much on fixing that little light that the plane crashed and killed over 100 people. And and his whole talk was focusing on not getting distracted and focusing on the most important things, because he even gave as an example, you know, a father doing, even a father spending hours and hours doing genealogy while neglecting his family, you know, that can be a distraction.
Yeah.
You know, that's why we need to keep things in perspective and in their proper order. Certainly family history. I would say if there's not family around, I can't think of a better thing to do. You know, maybe home teaching. You know, so, but just not getting distracted. And what was the quote that he said? Oh, yeah. He quoted Nehemiah. Nehemiah was basically called on kind of by the Lord to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. And they were doing it, and they were rebuilding, and he had all these people helping him. And people from the outside were just making fun of him, persecuting him. What are you doing? Why are you doing that and stuff? And just getting after him like crazy. And pretty much there was becoming quite the feud out of it. Finally they were saying, okay, well, come down here, come out of the city, and let's just talk about this and resolve it, the situation. And his quote was, I'm doing a great work, so I cannot come down. And that was kind of the premise of Elder Uchtdorf's talk.
You know who that reminds me of? Kind of. Lahontai.
Yep.
Except Lahan. Except gave
he
in.
Was, he gave in and failed, so was killed from it. But yeah, I'm doing a great work, and I cannot come down. You know, it's so easy to get distracted in small situations and big situations. And sometimes we just have to say, I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down. Whether that's telling work you can't come into work, whether it's saying, you know, I can't do my hobby right now because I'm spending time with the kids.
Or that's telling your buddies that you go out and play basketball with that you can't do it today.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, I need a, my wife would really wants me to do the dishes tonight, you know. It seems a small thing,
but no. Doing the dishes is not a small thing.
Yep.
It is a huge thing. Okay. And the laundry.
Your turn.
If any husbands are out there and listening, if you do dishes or laundry for your wife, she'll love you forever. Even if you just do it once. Okay, my next talk that I really liked was Elder Oaks' talk on Sunday afternoon. He talked about being unselfish and you know, serving others unselfishly. And he talked about the law of the harvest. We reap what we sow, basically. And if we don't sow anything, we can't. It's impossible to get anything back. And mentioned that entitlement is a big problem. Lots of people are feeling like they deserve something when they didn't do anything to deserve it.
Yeah. You know, I've always tried to have the attitude of, I don't deserve anything, but the Lord keeps his promises. You know, that's whenever I find myself feeling entitled to something, I have to tell myself, you don't deserve anything, but the Lord keeps his promises. Which basically means, you know, that while I don't deserve anything and can't expect anything, I can trust that the Lord's going to take care of me. He'll make sure I have what I need. Mm-hmm. I don't have to, you know, wallow around. I don't deserve anything. The Lord keeps his promises.
That's why every time we're having financial trouble, I'm like, okay, it's our tithing thing. That's the first thing I think of almost every time we're
like, five extra bucks.
Yeah. Well, not to tithing, but to fast offering.
Fast offering, but you know.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, okay. You know, and if, you know, and if we're ever having financial difficulties and realize that we've gotten a little behind on tithing, or then that's the first thing we need to do.
We'll figure out food later.
Yeah. And, you know, and when some of my friends have been having financial difficulties, almost always the first thing I suggest to them is like, well, keep paying your tithing. You know, it may seem hard right now, but do it. Because I know from experience, it works, it helps, you know. You may have no idea how you're going to feed your family for the next couple of weeks, and you may have no idea how you're going to be able to pay your bills. But if you pay your tithing, you'll be able to do it somehow. There are so many times that our budget has been like, it doesn't add up, we can't afford to pay all our bills. But since we've paid our tithing, somehow money comes out of nowhere. I mean, we've had money appear on our front porch. Money, literally money, out of nowhere.
We never did find out who it came from.
And it was just enough to feed us until the next paycheck. It was incredible.
And you know, and sometimes it's just something weird, like all of a sudden we discovered that my work offers free dinner to families.
Yeah.
It all, or, you know, and every day of the weekday of the week.
And, or we get a bill in the mail and find out that I overestimated in the budget. And turns out
now
we
have $40 extra.
Yeah.
We're like, yes, a really bad estimate. Pay the bills.
Anyway, sorry.
No, that's fine. I think that's the last of my...
Yeah. So, that's what you're saying is true. You know, we don't deserve anything, but the Lord does keep his promises. So you know that if you're keeping the commandments and doing what the Lord has asked us to do, then you will get what he has promised you.
Yep. So tell us your favorite parts of conference and...
Yeah. That'd be cool to hear what things hit you and, you know, what things kinda...
Whether it's the same things, you know, expound more on it. And if it's different things, tell us, because it's probably something we either didn't notice or forgot about quickly after.
Had a crying baby at the time. Overpowering conference.
Yep. So let us know. And...
And answer our question. Who was Hiram Smith's first wife?
Yes, that's the trivia question again, carried over from last time.
If you don't get it this time, then we'll have to ask again.
Yep. By the way, since this is our first podcast on the new one, just in case some of you are a first-time listener and are a little confused about some of the things we're talking about, we're a husband and wife podcasting team. We like to make popcorn and podcast while we eat it. That's why there's crunching throughout the show. And hence the name, Popcorn and Podcasting. It's much funner than popcorn in a movie. And much more meaningful, too. Anyway.
Yeah. And we like to share quotes and talks from the LDS prophets and apostles.
Yep. And we try to stand by the church on every issue as well.
We don't try to, we do.
We do stand by the church on every issue. And we try to portray that in the show. If ever we come across otherwise, please, please let us know. Because we are publishing this. And we don't want to publish something we didn't mean. So anyway, thanks for listening.
Bye.